Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, we get a lot of questions around here about closing. Seems like every time I get an inquiry from somebody looking for coaching information, it always includes the notion of closing. So what do you do when you want more information about closing? In addition to what we provide you at Wholesaler Mastermind, you got to go out and find an expert on sales. And if you want to go out and find an expert on sales, you have to look at Anthony Annarino. We first spoke back in January of 2011, and he was already large and skilled and expert at that time, and Wholesalers, he's only blown up since then. You got to talk about a guy that actually writes for his blog, not just a couple of words, but lots of words every single day. As a matter of fact, I think it was about a year ago, he pronounced that he had passed 1 million words written in terms of his content. He's a speaker, a global speaker. He is an author. He is a coach. He is the president and chief sales officer of Solutions Staffing, which is a best-in-class regional staffing service based in Columbus, and also managing director of B2B Sales Coaching Consultancy, not to mention an adjunct faculty member at Capital University School of Management and Leadership. He teaches personal selling and persuasive marketing, both at the undergrad and MBA level. Anthony Annarino, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
I'm almost exhausted from hearing you going through all my jobs. and you left out Success Magazine and Think Sales Magazine and Salesforce.com and a bunch of others. But yeah, you're most of the way there.
You know, you write a lot, and that means your bio is really long. So I could have read the whole bio for 12 minutes, 15 minutes, or we could get down to business.
No doubt. I always just want to say, you know, send that to my mom so she can hear all those things.
That's great. That's right. Pardon me. Let's talk about closing. So I'll share a quick story, and then I want you to share a quick story. So a lot of years ago, I had a business partner, and we sold Atari wholesalers. You getting that? Atari, for those of you who don't know what that is, go ahead and Google it. We sold Atari games at swap meets. We'd buy them wholesale. We'd sell them retail. And my boss at that time, mind you, I'm like in my early 20s, my boss at that time introduces me to the puppy dog clothes. The puppy dog clothes, where you actually put the Atari game in the hand of the 9-year-old who simply won't want to put it down, hence the parent has to buy it for him.
Brilliant.
Right? That's where I was introduced to my arguably first formal closing lesson. And as we talked about in our kind of pregame discussion, that doesn't work anymore, and it certainly doesn't work for wholesalers. What do you think about closing? How can we improve our closing, Anthony?
Well, here's the thing. Here's where we are today. In 1988, Neil Rackham wrote a book called Spin Selling. And the research that Neil did was impeccable. I think he went on 35,000 sales calls. They monitored and measured everything that they could think of to figure out why some people were more effective than others. And what they found out was that closing behaviors are really, really effective when something has a low price point and very little risk. But it turns out, as you get into more strategic needs, bigger outcomes, more expensive, greater risk deals, more closing behaviors start to work against you. So the more you start pressing for that, is it time for us to sign the contract? Let's do business together. Or maybe you like the Ben Franklin close, you know, when you could ask your client to take a legal pad out and draw a line down the middle of the paper, and then let's put all the advantages of one side and the competitive advantages on the other side, and we'll see which we can make way more. I mean, none of that stuff works anymore. But here's the thing. Everybody read Rackham's work, and they took the lesson too far. They said closing behaviors work against sales. And it's not true, and it never has been true, because you need a lot of commitment before you get to closing and asking for the final commitment, the commitment to do business together. And where salespeople, even wholesalers, struggle is gaining all these commitments. And when I talk to salespeople, I speak to them, I look at their pipelines, their deals stalled all over the place because they're missing the ability to gain a number of commitments. So it's not one commitment, the final commitment, where everybody always wants to focus. Let's talk about how we close the customer. There's a lot of closes that come before that. The first close is, can I have your time? I mean, that's an important close. Without opening that relationship and getting the commitment to sit down and spend time together, you're never going to close a deal. you've also got to get the commitment to explore working together, which means I have to say, yes, Rob, I'm open to looking at new ideas. And until I give you that commitment, we're not going anywhere. So this is what's changed. We don't have to only focus on the final close. We've got to focus on 10 closes that move the sales process forward. And it's as critical that you're able to achieve these closes as it is that you get that final close. It's critical to moving the sales process forward.
So clearly you and I are completely aligned. You're aligned with the Wholesaler Mastermind's philosophy. We talk about moving the sales process forward. We think that using the word closing sends the heebie-jeebies up the spine of most folks because it sounds flim-flammy. It sounds used car-like. Let's talk about some other commitments. I heard you talk about 10 of them that we have to get to. I'm assuming one is, can I have your time? And two is, explore working together. What would the next one be?
Are you willing to change? And we have to get a commitment that the client's willing to change. If we can't get the commitment, then we don't have an opportunity. And what I see is salespeople say, I had a great conversation with Rob, wonderful guy. We're going to talk again in the future. Why? Because he's not committed to changing. He's not dissatisfied enough, and we didn't entice him with something interesting enough to say, yeah, I would explore that change. But until someone's willing to change and you ask, would you be willing to change if this was better? If they don't say yes to that, then you don't yet have an opportunity.
So when we go in and sit down in front of a financial advisor, one of the things that we should be asking and not assuming is that they have a predisposition to explore a change in how they're, as an example, allocating portfolios, now using our product instead of someone else's.
Absolutely.
Okay. What would the next one be?
Well, here's the thing. The way that we work with buyers now is it's collaborative. Our buyer, the customer sitting across from you, wants some say in how this conversation's going to go, how we're going to work together. So you need a commitment to collaborate. And what this means is you may have the best solution in the world. And I talked to Dan Pink about this when I interviewed him for my podcast after his book To Sell as Human came out. And he liked the language. You either have my story, their story, or our story. And the more you can ask the questions, how would you change this to make it exactly fit what you need? Now we're starting to get them to own that, and you get the commitment to explore collaborating and coming up with some solution that's going to be better than your story, better than their story, and it becomes our story.
I was just letting that one percolate for a minute and trying to put it into the context of what we do. So finding a way to be able to be collaborative in terms of the commitment. Okay. What's the next
one? That's right. I don't know if this one applies to your group, but if there's ever more than one person involved, the commitment to gain consensus. And winning large, complex opportunities almost always requires consensus, especially when in a lot of deals there's 14 people who could say no, but none of them has the power to say yes without the consensus of the rest of the group. So you need a commitment from your client to help you involve the other people that you need on that buying committee team to say yes. And that's a higher level commitment that without, in a lot of cases, deals don't come to fruition.
Let's slip down that side street for a second. So wholesalers, you and I both know that some of the decisions that need to be made are being made by committee. They're being made by teams. You're calling on corner office guys that are managing multi-billion dollars. Your first stop is the analyst. But after the analyst, it's going to come back and there's going to be a decision perhaps with a couple of the partners, principals, et cetera, before they actually decide to take, as an example, your small cap fund and put in their allocation and head chip $20 million in your direction at the stroke of a pen. How do I gain consensus, would you think, Anthony, especially when some of the people that are part of the decision-making process are walled off from me? I have one entry point. I have the entry point of the analyst. That's who I go in and get all propeller heady with about my product and all of the analytics behind it. But I don't get to see Oz. He's behind the curtain. How do I make headway?
You've got to ask for that commitment. And you need what I call a sales call value proposition to do that. I have to be able to say, Rob, I really appreciate the time that you spent with me here today. I appreciate you exploring this opportunity to work together, and I especially your willingness to consider changing. But here's my experience. This decision isn't going to be made by one person, not you, not me. There's going to need to be other people involved. And it's my experience that if we don't show them what we're coming up with here early enough, a lot of times we'll never get this initiative off the ground. Can you share with me who else we're going to need to bring in? And then can we talk about how we might invite them into this process with us?
Wholesale, you listen to that? You're listening to what Anthony's saying. He's saying that we have to, at the point of meeting with the analyst, once we find that that's the right time and place to be able to do it, to say we need to meet the other principals. We need to have an opportunity to get in front of the other principals and share the goodness of the value proposition that we are wishing to put forth to the practice that we're calling on. Is that what I hear you saying?
It's spot on. And without that, you're going to have stalled deals. You're going to spend a lot of time working with. And remember, I said this, and this is the way that sales works right now. 14 people in that organization have the absolute authority to tell you no, and none of them has the ability to say yes on their own. So they're going to get together in a committee and decide whether or not they like you, your value proposition, your product, your service, your solution well enough to say yes. The sooner you get them involved and they start to own the outcome that we're talking about, the sooner you're going to get consensus and the more likely you're going to win your deal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wholesaler, gaining consensus, hugely important. Be thinking about what are you going to do once you're done with the gatekeeper, the analyst. How are you going to get in front of the other members of the decision-making body, assuming the analyst is not the guy that's going to make the decision? What's the next one on our list, Anthony?
You've got to get a commitment to invest. And in a lot of cases, if your customer wants better results, they need to make a bigger investment. And we, for some reason, believe that every opportunity we enter into is about savings, and it's not. It's about better outcomes, better and bigger results. In many cases, you've got to get the commitment that they're willing to make the necessary investment to improve the results they're getting. If I'm not getting what I want, I'm dissatisfied. And if I'm dissatisfied, spending less on that outcome is not the right recipe for getting a better result. Spending more almost always is. Fast, cheap, and better never go in the same product, service, or solution. You've got to pick one or two of those. So we have to be willing to ask for the commitment to invest more.
Okay. We're at number 7.
Are we? I don't know how many I've been through, but I got more.
That's okay. I'll tally them up at the end. Keep going.
We've got to have a commitment to review our proposed solution. When we walk in and we've got those stakeholders and we're trying to build consensus, we need a commitment to sit down and walk them through the story and show them here's where we are, here's where we're going, here's how we think we can get there best, and here's the dragon under the bridge that's going to come up and try to destroy us unless we deal with it in some way, but we know that, and here's what our plan is. But until you get the stakeholders involved in that decision and their willingness to review walking that path with you, you're not going to win an opportunity. That's another commitment that's necessary.
Wholesalers, so to us, that would mean that we absolutely have to, as a part of moving the sales process forward, get a commitment about how the analyst, the advisor, the insurance coordinator, whatever your product line is, how they're going to proceed with digesting the information that we've just presented. How are we going to be able, how are they going to plan to process what we've done in the time that we've spent with them? Is that what I hear you saying, Anthony?
That's right on.
Okay. What's the next one?
How about this one? This one's a tougher one, and this is where a lot of salespeople come off the tracks. And they gave the presentation. They built the right solution. They've spent time with stakeholders. They drop that nice, pretty package off on the executive's desk, and they walk out, and they wait for something to happen. But here's what happens in every buying cycle. People have fears and concerns and worries about risks that pop up at the end of that process. So you need the commitment to get together with your client, your prospect again, and follow up to resolve concerns. And you need to even address it. Say, Rob, listen, I appreciate you looking at this, but here's what I know is going to happen. You're going to go through this and you're going to have questions. You're going to have concerns. You're going to see some risk in this. And what I'd like to do, get on the calendar right now where we could get back together. I can answer all your questions. I can help you resolve any concerns you might have so that you're 100% confident if you decide to move forward with our program. Does that make sense? And I want a chance to resolve concerns because it's inevitable that they're going to come up, and I have a choice to make. Either I'm going to be there to help them deal with those concerns, or they're going to try to resolve the concern themselves. And a lot of times the way that they resolve the concern is by saying, you know what, I'm really not sure it's going to work. I don't understand the risk. Let's just table this for a while. Maybe we'll look at it again next year.
Let me throw you a curveball. So everything that we're talking about is closing, and a lot of what we're speaking about in the context of closing is closing intellectually. And we spend a lot of time at Wholesaler Masterminds, in addition to talking about closing intellectually, and we work in a very linear industry. We work in financial services. We're all about facts and figures and making sure that everything is done, you know, all I's dotted, T crossed, compliance. We also spend a lot of time talking about the heart and appealing to the buyer at the emotional level. We talk, Anthony, about making sure that your reconnaissance is right. We've had Sam Richter on the podcast talking about the importance of doing your homework before you get inside of a meeting so you can connect with the prospect, connect with their heart in addition to their head. You write so much about sales. I'm going to throw you a curveball, get you off on a side street here, to talk about shortening the sales process by improving your reconnaissance so you can touch the advisor in the heart, not just the head. And by virtue of that, you get to shorten the closing cycle because they're just all warm and gooey and fuzzy. How do you feel about that?
Well, here's the truth of the matter. People buy emotionally and justify by rationalizing after the fact. They don't do it in the other order. They don't buy the logical case and then try to find the emotional connection to it. There has to be something in their interest. There has to be something driving this. How does it help their business? How does it help them personally? How does it make a difference in their life? And we are humans. We are meaning-seeking creatures. And the more that you can elevate, and this is called an elevation strategy, to talk about our mission, our values, why we do what we do, why we want to help people, why it's our obligation to help our clients better serve their customers, get them a better return, put them in a safer product, take them to a better place financially, that's where you're going to win people's hearts. When you start talking about mission and meaning and values and identity and story, that's where you can get the emotional connection. Later on, after the fact, they're going to want facts and figures and a spreadsheet to justify it, but people buy emotionally. I'm 100% with you there. And Sam Richter's scary, isn't he?
He is scary. And the intel, and just so we're tracking together, the intel that we're talking about and that we teach our clients about, of course, what you speak about is irrefutable truth, but the emotion that you speak about is still at the corporate level. It's the mission of the corporation. It's the mission of the investment solution. It's the why we choose to have the five pillars of success that our firm chooses to have. I'm talking about the fact that the prospect sitting in front of me is a marathon runner and just had their very best marathon run ever in their history. And if I have the opportunity to bring that up in context and appropriately inside the meeting, pretty quickly after I get there, I can actually thaw the meeting very quickly in terms of how they perceive me and the information I'm about to impart upon them. That's the granularity of the heart piece I'm speaking about.
There's no question about it. And for some reason, the world that we live in is moving more and more towards transaction, more and more towards arm's length. We don't know each other. You buy over the web, you place your order, I never see or talk to you. I think there's a backlash, and I think there is right now a retreat back to relationships because people don't get what they want when they buy transactionally. They want the person sitting across from them to know them. They want that person to know their interests. They want that person to be still, and I know that this goes against a lot of what people are hearing right now, they still know, like, and trust. And if I don't know you and I don't like you and I don't trust you, I'm not going to buy from you. And what makes me like you more than anything else? Your sincere interest in me. The more interested you are in me and what's important to me, the marathon thing's a great example, but it can be kids in soccer, it can be karate, whatever the thing is. That's a connection that says I'm human and I care about you as a human, and that's what creates know, like, and trust. I think that's right, and I think also you can tie that to whatever you want to, but it still matters deeply.
Absolutely. Wholesalers, the good news about what Anthony said is if there is a shift coming back, if the scale has tipped too much to transaction and the scale is tipping back to relationship, even if only modestly, that means we have job security, wholesalers, because we do nothing better than go out and develop relationships with advisors and pivot those relationships into being able to blow out our sales goals. So Anthony just shared a sliver of good news amongst the other brilliance that he shared. Anthony Annarino, I am deeply appreciative for you spending 20 minutes with us at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your people.
Absolutely. Wholesalers, go check out Anthony's blog, The Sales Blog. We'll, of course, hook it up in terms of the link at the website, thesalesblog.com. Wholesalers, come back next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.